With using SEO for your website, the ultimate goal is that people will come to your website, they will fall in love with what you do, and then they will inquire and book you. So your bookings will increase without having to put special posts up every day. It's more of a sustainable way for marketing your business and getting more leads and sales into your business.
You're listening to the Build and Bloom podcast with host Jessica Whitaker, an educator of film and digital photography to beginners, both in workshops across the globe and online. Creator of the Build and Bloom group on Facebook, one of the largest and most engaged photography communities with over 60,000 members, and founder of nonprofit Sister Sister, a monthly networking group for young women in media. Jessica Whitaker cuts the fluff and will help you to grow your photography business with practical, actionable tips in every episode. If you're ready for a roadmap to a better personal and professional balance, then Build and Bloom podcast will help encourage, empower, and educate you to not only build your dream business, but sustain it. And now, here's your host, Jessica Whitaker.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll. Hey photographer, Jessica Whitaker here. Welcome to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. In this episode, we are talking all about SEO, which stands for Search Engine Optimization. In short, SEO is how your website is ranked in Google. And I am joined with my friend Kat DeLine. She is an expert in SEO, and she is going to teach you all about how to use SEO in your creative business. I get that this seems like a boring topic, but Kat is going to teach in a simple and fun way, and we'll give you a few plug and play action steps that you can do this weekend. All of Kat's information will be linked in the show notes below. We have a lot to cover, so let's get into it.
Thanks, Jessica, for having me. I am Kat DeLine. I am an East Coast wedding photographer, and I consider myself a bit of a marketing maven. I specialize in websites, SEO, a lot of marketing for small businesses. First off, for search engine optimization is what SEO stands for. It's basically telling Google you are talking about something and you want people to read it and see it. So what you're going to do is, it's not just the days of cramming a bunch of keywords onto a page and then just not making any sense and just making sure you say the right words 10,000 times.
What keywords mean?
So keywords are the words that you put on your website into your metadata, anything you put on your website that tells Google, I want to talk about this subject, such as like if you work at a venue or you have a certain type of photography, if you photograph at a certain location, if you are just basically anything that identifies. So if I, as a wedding photographer, want to work at a specific or have worked at a specific venue, my keyword would be that venue name and photography afterwards. Keywords are what you're talking about that you think someone would search for. So a keyword would be venue name plus photography or just the venue name. It's whatever you think someone on Google is going to type into that search bar.
What about if they're looking for wedding photographers in Seattle? Would they would Google search that? So those would be keywords.
Yeah. So it's a keyword location. It can be specific actual venue. It can be a region. It could be a country. It could be a state. Keywords are anything that you think someone will search for to find you specifically for what you're offering. And in all honesty, this is a stat that I like to throw out there because it lets you know how powerful keywords and SEO and Google is. 8.5 billion people search per day. There's 8.5 billion searches in Google a day. And if you go into like Instagram or Facebook social media, only 500 million people use it a day. Think about that. So a lot of us spend a lot of our time on social media curating these cute feeds, which trust me, I'm there too. But in all honesty, you should be putting a little bit more of your effort into your Google presence. And it doesn't have to be overly hard. It doesn't have to be super techy. If you have a website like Squarespace or WordPress, they make it really easy for you, especially Squarespace. They give you certain areas in your settings to add keywords, to add and describe what you do, and to be able to, you know, satisfy those SEO needs that you have on your website. SEO can take your website and your business and put it in front of a niche market. It can get more eyes on what you offer than it would on social media. So it gives you the opportunity to put your business in front of your niche client from venue or location or type of photography, and you can target a specific audience for that type of photography or service that you offer. With using SEO for your website, the ultimate goal is that people will come to your website, they will fall in love with what you do, and then they will inquire and book you. So your bookings will increase without having to put special posts up every day. It's more of a sustainable way for marketing your business and getting more leads and sales into your business. So let's talk about things that you can actually do on your website today that will help your SEO. So first off, if you have a website platform, if you're, say you're using Squarespace, I know that's pretty popular for everyone to use. It's very user-friendly compared to WordPress. So in Squarespace, I need you to go into your advanced settings and actually implement an SEO title and description. So like we talked about, if you are a Seattle photographer or a Seattle maternity photographer, wedding photographer, whatever you are, I want you to go into your SEO title and label it. I want you to have something there that is descriptive, especially for photography. A lot of us are location-based. So you want to put your location and the type of photography that you do, and then give a brief description of what you actually do. So that's the first thing. That's going to be huge. That's basically telling Google, hey, I'm this person. I want to talk about this. Send people my way. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to write words on your website that your clients use. So a lot of us get caught up in using industry terms and talking to our industry just because that's what we know. Take a minute, put yourself in your client's shoes and start talking to them as if you're having a conversation. Because when you meet your clients in real life, you connect with them because they're buying from you. They love you. Start using that same tone, those same words on your website so that they feel like they are actually getting to know you. So I want you to speak regular terms that regular people that buy your services use. That's a huge one because too many of us use a lot of those industry buzzwords.
Could you give us an example of, instead of this buzzword, use this?
Yeah. So if you're going to use, and I'm not like picking on any type of photography, but say you're going to use the word fine art. The average consumer doesn't use the word fine art. They might use the word, and I know they're very, very close together. They might use editorial. They might use magazine, or they might simply just use wedding or sophisticated wedding photography or something to that effect. What I want you to do is if you have an industry buzzword like that fine art, mm-hmm. go to someone, either a previous client or someone, even your next door neighbor, and say, hey, I have a couple words. I want to know if you know what they are. Ask them. If someone down the street doesn't know what those words are, the likelihood of your target audience knowing what they are is very mm-hmm. slim. So just test out some words. Test, if you write copy, send it to someone who's not in your industry, who doesn't maybe fully know what you do. Yeah. To have a regular everyday person read your website is such a valuable thing to do to make sure you're using the right words that people want to read.
This podcast episode is brought to you by HoneyBook. HoneyBook is a client management program. You are able to have your client submit their inquiry form on your website and have this system automate the entire booking process. So once you get that client inquiry, they're popped at the top of your funnel and booked hands-free. So now instead of the cycle of responding to inquiries manually, answering the questions, following up with ghosted clients, you know the drill, this process should now take you 10 minutes because it is automated. So before we get back to the episode, let's talk about getting paid. Another feature I love is that you can set up a payment schedule with your clients, and HoneyBook will automatically remind them that the payment is almost done and it will invoice them. I love that you could set up various payment schedules with your clients. You can break it down by percentage, exact amount, and HoneyBook will do all the math for you. It will automatically remind them when payments are due or about to be due, and it will invoice them. So there's no more back and forth for you trying to track down that final payment. You can head to jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook to snag a free trial with no credit card required to set up. And if you love it, you'll get 50% off your first year. That's jessicawhitaker.co/honeybook.
The next thing you can do, and this is something that kind of goes hand in hand with making sure we're using the right words, is I really want you to start writing about things and providing helpful content. We always say on Instagram, like, oh, be very helpful. Make sure you're serving your audience. But then you go to your website and you haven't touched it in years. I want you to spend more time on your website putting helpful content on there that actually people actually want to read. Because if nobody's spending time on your website, Google's not going to rank you. They want people to spend time. They want people to scroll to the bottom of a page. They want people to actually read what you're putting out there. Because if people don't spend time on your website, Google's saying, well, people aren't really interested in what you're having to say. So why would they rank you any higher? So once you figure out the words you want to use, then I want you to start creating content that people are actually need to know about what you do. So if you get asked questions by clients, answer them on your website. If you're providing helpful content on your social media and you've done really well with that, start bringing that information and that content onto your website to capture part of the 8.5 billion searches a day.
So through blog posts?
You can do it blog post, or even just on your homepage. You can do it on your about page. You can provide helpful content that doesn't have to be blogging. While I am a big blogging person, it is one of my biggest tools in my website chess book or toolbox is to blog. And that's actually one of my helpful tips is to start blogging your work. Because I know in the photography industry, it's underutilized and all of us groan. I think all of us just had it all together like, ugh, not blogging again. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You don't have to write 1800 words. That's out. It's 300 words that you're going to just sit down and type as if you're talking to your ideal client about a session, about a wedding, about a product photography, whatever it is that you're doing. You're simply going to sit down. You're going to type 300 words, which isn't that much.
Yeah, it's like a tweet. Words.
Yeah, it's like super. You can write that out fast. I want you to talk in conversation as if you're talking to that ideal client. You're going to pop some pictures in there. And I cannot tell you the amount of money that it brings into a business per year with your blogging. I wrote blogs 5-6 years ago that still bring inquiries and money into my business. And I don't know anyone who has, or many people who have, a Facebook or an Instagram post that has been that lucrative for that long. Usually the consumption time is like an eighth of what it is for Google.
When you have a blog, for me, I'll have the title of the session, and then I'll always have in the title of the blog post, the location. So Seattle branding shoot in Ballard, which is a neighborhood in Seattle, and Seattle's the city. So would you recommend in those 300 words in the blog post itself, outside of the title, I guess, to have the location of the city, the kind of photography? So for me, I'd be like, I loved doing Kat's branding photography in Seattle, Washington. We did my favorite neighborhood, Capitol Hill and Ballard. Very simple like that.
Yeah. And, you know, back in the day, everybody just thought you had to say that keyword as many times as possible.
Yeah.
You can naturally bring up a keyword 3 times. You're good. You want to bring it up very casually. You don't have to just say, it doesn't have to be the first 4 words in your blog post.
Okay.
You do want to mention it in your first paragraph and then scatter 2 more times throughout your blog post. Okay. It really should come up pretty naturally. And another thing I want to say is if you're going to start blogging, don't use the same keyword for multiple blogs, because then you're competing against yourself. There's different tweaks you can make to keywords. Like if you're doing a Seattle branding session, one can be Seattle branding session. The next one could be that specific location of which you use branding session.
Or Western Washington, like the region.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You can spice that up a little bit. You can make it a little bit different. It doesn't have to be the same old boring stuff. And those keywords, gone are the days, like I said, that you're just going to pack them in as much as you can. You just kind of naturally bring it up throughout your blog post 3 times. You can say one word, a series of maybe 3 to 5 words, 3 times pretty easily in a blog post without seeming really spammy.
Yeah.
And when you write these blog posts, the reason I tell you to write it like you're talking to your client is because that means they'll probably actually want to read it and scroll all the way to the bottom. And then Google is going to say, oh, this person, people know what they're talking about. They want to read. So they're going to keep bumping you up that SEO ladder.
I actually have an amazing resource for people when it comes to the images. I'll have it linked in the show notes or the description, you guys. It's a blog tool where you can pop in your photos. Very easy. It's a software. You don't need to have Wi-Fi. And then it will arrange it where you arrange it into a gallery, and then it's a code that generates, so that instead of manually loading in the images, waiting for them to upload to the Squarespace platform, it will be a code, pop it in, and then it generates. And it's a collage, but each of the images are individually uploaded, so you can pin each individual image versus having it be like one big JPEG that then goes onto Pinterest as a giant collage. And then that makes it even easier, because I know for me in the past, it's been a struggle to blog just because of how much time I would have to set aside to let each image load on the site. And then it's a bit tedious to kind of have it in the perfect like grid. And so I'll have that blog tool linked for you guys in the show notes, or you can just go to jessicawhitaker.co/blog tool. So Kat, so blogging, you would say, is before you invest the time into maybe even creating a really fun Instagram reel from that wedding with the finished images, spend that time instead working on the blog post. And once it's done, and it can live on forever.
Yeah. And really, it's really nice. So when you go to blog and say you're going to do a reel too, because it's really good, like you said, that consistency, and to have your brand show up on both your website and your social media, consistency is great in that sense too, and covering all those bases. And it's not like you're talking about anything different than you would on the reel to your blog. But the problem is that most people, you spend so much time on the reel because it's what we all are talking about, which is great. I do reels too. But if you can put it on your blog, spend 20, 30 minutes. And then as you blog more, it gets less and less time. If you start blogging at the same time you do a reel, you're going to see really quick how much longer your blog is going to live in the relevancy than it is for your Instagram reel. Because I've written blogs for the last 5, 6 years. I've been pretty consistent with it. And I have blogs from when I used to live in Hawaii that bring me back to Hawaii. I have destination work solely off of my blog. And that's because I sat down, I wrote what I needed to write. I put the right keywords in. I have the images. I put everything on that blog. And I also work it into my workflow. So if you say to me like, Kat, I can never sit down and do them. If you're doing that reel, do the blog simultaneously. And maybe it's part of your sneak peek process. Maybe it's part of your gallery delivery process. But if you're doing this social media part, pop in some blogs and just see the difference that you're going to have there, and see how much longer you're going to bring in money from that blog than you are from your Instagram reel. So they can go really hand in hand, and it's not like you're completely rewriting something fully different.
And you know what's so wonderful about the blogs is the analytics are so much more in depth on your website. For every single page, every single blog post, you can track, versus Instagram is an overall look at your entire account as a whole. And so you can really measure the analytics even more so with blogs and comparing it to your Instagram.
Yeah, this is where I get really excited when I work with my clients for SEO, and I go into their back end and I can tell them, you know, what times of day their audience is the most active. I can tell them exactly where they live. I can tell a lot of statistics from your Google Analytics, from your website, from your blog posts, from any of that information. You can find out so much about where if you're targeting the right place. Like, so if I want to target Hawaii, or if I want to target Virginia, I can see if what I'm actually blogging about are actually getting read by people in those areas. Yeah. It's just really great to see the actual like big information that you can get from Google statistics, rather than, you know, Instagram, like you said, it does give you some, it's overall, but if you really want to get really good at reaching your target market and who you want to work with, Google's such a great way to do it, to make sure that you're hitting those points.
It's so much more granular than social media.
This episode of the Build and Bloom podcast is brought to you by ContractEista, my favorite resource for lawyer-drafted photography contracts. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off lawyer-drafted legal documents. ContractEista is your one-stop shop for attorney-drafted legal documents for entrepreneurs. Actually, not only are they attorney-drafted by a business and intellectual property attorney, but but they're also peer-reviewed by attorneys with over 30 years of experience in contract drafting for multinational corporations. Anyways, Contractista actually has bundles specific for photographers that cover portrait photography contracts, wedding photography contracts, plus some legal disclosures that you have to put on your website. Just like you have to have car insurance to drive a car, you have to have attorney-drafted contracts for your clients and websites to run a business. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts and protect yourself from that just in case. And you can use the code BUILDBLOOM15 at checkout for 15% off. That's jessicawhitaker.co/photography contracts.
So the third one is to start blogging. I was talking about making sure you speak directly to your client and make sure that the content you're putting out is helpful, but it's the actual doing of the blog. The doing of the blog is actually going to bring more and more people on your website, because believe it or not, when I have you go into Squarespace and I have you change, you know, what the title of your website is, and it's going to say location specific and photography, you also can rank up on certain keywords on Google by blogging that are completely different than what your overall website goes for. So it's not just like you're only ever going to do this one keyword and that's the only thing you're ever going to rank for. I rank for every, if you Google vendors in my area, if you Google venues in my area, if you Google how to get married in my area, my blog is going to come up at the top of just about every wedding search in this Virginia area that I'm in, because I've blogged it all. And that gives me, that takes my website, that's just this small little thing, and it has made it this big, hefty tool chest that covers anytime any client, any couple, or anyone comes to it. It encompasses so much good information for them. They dance around my website, they fall in love, and then they book. So that's what you want to do. If you are focusing on your SEO, this means you're going to build this big, beautiful website. And it's not like it's big in the sense of it's really technical and there's a lot of words on it. You're building it big as in you're serving your community, you're serving your clientele, you're serving that niche audience and giving them all the information they need, but they're finding it on your website instead of everybody else's. You're giving them one place to come to really learn everything they want to. And you can do that so easily through blogging. And whether that's blogging about the work you do, or I even tell people one of the best things I added to my website was an advice blog. Because when people get married, if you've ever gotten married, you know that you are a little seasick and it is a lot of information that you're getting from all these different places. I give my couples one place to go for advice and they trust me. And more times than not, they read my blog. And by the time I actually am booking them, they're already in love with what we do, because I'm establishing myself as an expert with every single blog that I write, every piece that I put on my website. I'm establishing myself as an expert as I do so. When everybody talks to me about SEO, you know, we've talked a lot about keywords and we've really focused in on it, which it is a big part of SEO. But the biggest thing that I think everybody misses with SEO and why we all are like, oh, it's so tech heavy and I got to run the other direction. It's so, you know, intense, it's so serious. SEO is really about an experience. So I like to equate your website with buying a house and, or even renting a house. Once you have a home that you come home to every day, you make it yours, right? When you walk into that door, you might paint walls a different color. You put up wallpaper. You might put this amazing portrait above your mantle, whatever it is that you're going to do to make your house feel like a home. That's really the same thing with your website, because in all honesty, your website is the one piece of marketing in your toolbox that you actually own. You get to set the rules. Granted, we're talking about rules with SEO, with Google. They do have some, but really your website is yours. It's your brand house. However you want your clientele to come in and experience your brand, you can make that happen on your website. Unlike social media, where you have a lot of rules and algorithms and trends and you better use this audio before it is no longer trending. Your website is a representation of your brand. So it should be an experience when someone walks into it. So that is down to, you know, your color palette, the words that you use, the images that you use. You're telling a story and giving them experience. So when they get onto that website, they want to dance around. They want to stay a while. You want them to fall in love with you because you're truly showing exactly what your brand is, what it represents, and how you're doing what you do. Because all of us can take photos. All of us do on our iPhones. My My mother takes photos on her iPhone. She's technically a photographer. But what makes you different from an amateur or makes you different from the photographer next door is how you do it and your style and what gives you that unique sense, your secret sauce in your business. That is where you can show it in all of its beautiful glory, is on your website. So I want people to stop thinking about just keywords and start thinking about the experience that your website gives somebody, because you get to determine how that website looks, how it feels, what it says. Even, you know, people are like, oh, I have to get a copywriter and make sure my website sounds this way. No, your website, just as if you go into mine, if you go to delinephotography.com, you're going to load that first site and you're going to know right away who you're talking to. And that's me, because it is just a complete representation of what my brand is. And that's every single page you go to, because I wanted people to come to a website and feel comfortable. Like they just curled up on the couch in my beautiful house, put a blanket over them and said, oh, photography is not so bad. I'm really excited. I want them to feel comfortable and at home. And you can do that with your website more than any other marketing tool that you have. And so that's also a part of SEO. Granted, you know, we're talking about keywords and cramming them in. It's really about, once they show up on that website, how long they want to stay. Do they want to sit and have a drink with you? Do they want to sit and watch a movie with you? Or do they want to just click it open and say, ooh, I don't like this, and run the other way?
I love that. And that analogy of the brand house is genius. And I feel like my listeners can rethink their approach to websites. And, oh, you know what? I think I actually will start prioritizing it. Jessica's been telling me for months, as long as I found her content, to prioritize websites. But now I can think of it in a whole new way of,
yeah,
it's your brand house.
I just could never understand. People kept telling me to like build ideal clients and build a brand. And it never clicked in my head for me until one day I was sitting here doing some marketing things. And I was like, well, I get to make my website. When I was designing my website in 2019, I was like, I get to design this website however I want it to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy smokes, like I can do anything. I was like, this is like owning a house. And then it just clicked. Your whole entire brand is the aesthetic, the experience, everything is your brand house. And once you have the foundation of what you want to do, you just build the rest of it on top of it. And I think once you can understand that that's the same thing as your website, I think it becomes so much easier to digest and make your website good and a good representation of your brand and who you are.
Yeah, 100%. How do you approach SEO differently?
It goes hand in hand with the brand house. So I make it an experience. Your SEO, like I said, shouldn't just be tossing keywords around everywhere. Your SEO should be establishing you as an expert and establishing your brand, how it feels, what it is, in all honesty, what sets you apart. When I land on your website, I shouldn't be like, oh, I've seen this website 5 times.
In terms of design?
Design, the words that you use, every aspect of your website shouldn't feel like I've seen it 5 times. Okay. They should come onto your website and say, oh yeah, this is Jessica's website. Oh yeah, this is Kat's website. It should give that uniqueness. So making SEO different is, instead of just cramming keywords and putting in a lot of data places and tossing words here and there, I want you to take your SEO and I want you to make it an experience that your clients enjoy. So if you get asked a question by a client, all you can say to them is, I got a blog for you. Here's a link to this blog. They can go in and they can read it. Or before they ever get in contact with you, it should be an experience where they can go on your website and any question they can think of here, they're going to find on that website.
Yes.
Whether that's a blog, whether that's an FAQ section, whether that is just like an experience page, an investment page, whatever page you have, not saying you need 12 different pages. Let's not do that. You have your core pages that you have, but within those pages, you should be able to talk them through what you do, how you do it, why it's different, and answer all those questions. So when I create an SEO strategy for a company, I'm really looking at, how can I establish you as an expert? How can I talk to your clientele that gets through to them and make sure that like what we're talking about is actually things that they're going to be searching? So when I say give advice, make sure it's something that people actually want to know. That's why I'm saying, like, talk to your past clients, talk to people next door, ask them what they might want to know about what kind of photography you do, and start writing about it. Start putting that information on your website. So when they come to your website, they feel like everything they need to know about you is already answered. So by the time they hit that inquire or contact page, they already want to book you because they know you are so good at what you do. They already have their questions answered. And if they don't, it's like a couple questions here and there, like that are casual. It's nothing big. You shouldn't have to break down any big barriers because your website should already tell them.
Would you recommend then for those who are kind of starting from one to create a booking page? So for me, I have a booking page that has my packages, it has an FAQ, it suggests what to wear, all in one space, and you can make it as elaborate or as simple as you want. And then that leads to your contact page versus, okay, now I need to do all these different blog posts to answer the questions. Just kind of start simple.
Yeah, you can have a booking page where you give them all that information up front for them. That's a beautiful way to do it. I just also suggest blogging because more times than not, your blogs will get picked up by Google a lot quicker than just a booking page. Yeah. So if you have a booking page and you can give them, hey, this is what to wear, this is what to do, that's great. But if someone goes immediately to your contact page and books you, you can also send them a blog to say, here, this is what to wear. Here, this is good, some good locations. Okay. Here's all these things. So any information that you're giving people like after the fact, like in an email where you're typing it up to say, I think we should go to this location or you should wear this, put that in a blog and get some SEO juice out of it instead of just typing it in an email. So if you have that booking page that has all that information, that's beautiful. I want you to put the information that someone needs to book you to feel comfortable to do so somewhere in your website. If that's a booking page, that's great. If that's an experience page, that's great. Or if you can put it into separate blogs, I like that because you're going to get more SEO juice from the work you're putting in.
So with a blog post, do you think, for example, would be, so a client would ask, where should we shoot? I want to shoot on a beach. So that you could turn that into a blog post of 3 beach locations to shoot in Seattle, something like that.
So I just actually adjusted this. I go through each year and I put different content to or topics to blog about throughout the year. And we just did engagement photos. So I just did a blog post that says engagement photo locations in Virginia Beach. That's it. And I went through and I put my top, I think 3 or 5. You don't, whatever gets you to that 300 words, if it's, you know, 3 locations, if it's 5, what I would do is I would talk about each location. I'd give the actual location and I'd put a picture example so that when our clients inquire with us and they're like, well, I think I want a beach location, but I'm not sure. We have so many different type of beaches around us. I'm going to send them that blog post and say, here's our top 5. If you want something a little bit different, we can discuss it. But more times than not, they just want to see examples of what it looks like to see if what you're giving them is what it looks like in their head. And that serves them, but it doesn't just serve the people who are booking you. It's serving potential couples and it's serving people who haven't even gotten to the point where they need to book you yet, but they're aware of you. They're aware of your business and aware of what you're providing.
Oh, that's really good. We're seeing a lot of those topics covered on Instagram reels, 3 beaches in Seattle to shoot, but instead of just putting that into a reel, you're already collecting the images for that Instagram reel, turn it into a blog post.
And it's so, if you're putting that information into a reel already, you already have 1/2 to 3/4 of your blog written. You might just have to put a couple extra words in there. And if you can do that and you can put it onto your blog, I would be hard pressed to find that your blog doesn't live on longer than the Instagram.
Yeah, 100%.
This episode of the Build a Blue podcast is brought to you by a tool that's cut my photography workflow in half without cutting into half my software budget. Like most photographers, I use the blog feature on my website to upload galleries. Narrative is a software that you download onto your computer that cuts down the time it takes to build out blog posts from 1 hour to 10 minutes. Narrative works on almost all website platforms, Squarespace, Wix, Weebly, WordPress, the list goes on. There are so many bonus features to Narrative, including a Lightroom plugin, SEO integration, adding text in the blog post, cropping within the program, which means no more back and forth with Lightroom. Oh, and it also uploads all your images as individual files, so it's not one big collage, meaning that it's Pinterest friendly. I know what you're thinking, this seems like a miracle, but how much does it cost? With Narrative, there are 3 package options starting at just $6 a month. And heads up, right now the program is only available for iOS, meaning Mac users. Go to jessicawhitaker.co/blogtool. You can also check out the description of this podcast episode, the show notes down below. I'll link it as well. That's jessicawhitaker.co/blogtool.
With all of that being said, as we're getting towards the end of the episode, it's time to give them an assignment.
Ooh. Okay. So your assignment for this weekend, I'm going to give you a couple things I want you to do. So let's touch back on the three ways you can improve your SEO this weekend before I give you your homework assignment. I feel like a teacher. I'm living out my teacher dreams. I like
Professor
this.
Cat.
Professor Cat's in session. Okay. So first off, I want you to go in, especially if you have Squarespace or WordPress, I want you to go in and label your website. I want you to put the location that you're in and the service that you offer. So it'll be like Seattle Portrait Photographer. I want you to go in and do that. If you're in Squarespace, you go into your advanced settings and there's a little section there. It's even labeled SEO. Squarespace is helping you out. Go in there and make sure that's filled out. So I want you to do that. That's going to be huge. Just letting Google know that like, hey, I want to talk about this. This is me. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to go through your website and start using language that your clients actually use. I want you to just use really normal everyday language. So take out your industry terms and put in your everyday language that people use. And then thirdly, I really want you to start blogging and I want you to have fun with it. I want you to blog your work and I want you to just put it out there for the world to see, like, this is what I do. I'm very proud of what I do. And I want you to have it live on for years. So I want you to blog your work so that 3 years down the road, when someone's looking for you, they're going to find that blog and see how amazing you are at what you do. So I definitely want you to start blogging. Here's your assignment. It is a blogging assignment because we're driving this home. I want you this weekend to create one blog about the top three places you either want to shoot or you would suggest for someone to do their portrait session or do a session at. So if you're in Seattle, you're going to say, these are the top three Seattle beach locations. Now you might say to me, Kat, I don't have any pictures of this place that I want to photograph at. That's fine. Here's what you're going to do. I want you to go in and you can have your picture of yourself holding your camera, that cute branding photo that you got done and you look so good. Let's keep using it. You're going to put that right at the top and you're going to say, my name is so-and-so and here are my top three locations at this location or this state or this city, whatever it is. And then I want you to talk about each of them. There's just three. I don't need you to write a novel though. I want it 300 words. I want you to hit it and quit it. I don't need you to have 1800 words. If you find that you're going into like 500-600 words, make a second blog, make another one, stay pretty close to that 300 words. So people want to read it. So you're just going to talk about three locations that you either want to work at or that you suggest people to work at. And then we're going to see what happens with your blog and your website traffic. I want you to make sure Google Analytics is installed on your website. So, or check your Squarespace is really good about having their analytics up there. And I want you to watch how much traffic comes to your website.
For the blog post on Squarespace, they make it really helpful where you can do heading, body text, heading two. Yep. So I even on my blog post like to use heading format and do number one, my first point, body, mm-hmm. just my, you know, couple sentences.
And Google loves it. When you start using more headings, not just H1, and when you start using those H2, H3, ooh, Google gets so excited. Mm. They're like, oh, this person really is talking about this. Let's see what they got to say. And they're going to crawl your blog post and see that you know what you're talking about because you're referencing all these points that make sense for your main title of your blog. Mm, and it's just, okay. Google loves it. Google gets so excited when you start using those H2, H3 tags. They love
That's it. That's amazing. Okay, good to know. What does crawling the blog post mean?
So what it means is Google has its information, and in order for it to actually see if what you're talking about is really what you're talking about, it crawls. So I should have a better way of explaining this. So basically it just goes through your website and it makes sure that whatever text and alt tags and images you have on there makes sense. So if you're talking about the desert, but you in your actual blog start talking about the beach, Google gets confused. It's basically looking for words and data that back up what you're talking about to make sure that what you're actually, the text is actually makes sense. That's why like you can't just put like a clickbait headline on there and then talk about something completely different. Cause then Google's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So you're not really talking about what you say you are.
Kat, this has been so helpful and you've broken down SEO into the best bite-sized way that photographers can go and apply it to their website this weekend. Where can everybody find you? And I know you also have a freebie for us.
I do. I have a nice little freebie that's going to help you guys identify. I call it your three SEO sins. It's something we've all done on our website someday. I'm even victim to it. But there are three things that I see on most websites. So we have a little PDF download so you guys can go through and make sure that you get those all taken care of and you get them out of there. But you can also find me and some more SEO help and some blogging help on katdeline.com. I have a little marketing shop for creatives, but also I have a blog on there with lots of good information, especially about when Google does new updates, what I like, don't like, how to use them, and just basically some small business marketing help.
Beautiful. So all that information will also be linked in the description of this episode. So if you just pop on over to see more, you can get direct links to Kat's Instagram website, as well as that freebie PDF. Thank you so much, Kat, for donating your time and talent and for being on the podcast. I know that this has been so, so beyond helpful.
Oh, thank you, Jess, for having me. And I hope everybody finds it beneficial. And I start seeing some beautiful websites come from this.
Thanks for listening to the Build and Bloom podcast. If you love the show, leave us a review on iTunes to keep it running. This also helps other photographers to find this free resource. Looking for more? Join over 60,000 photographers in the Build and Bloom Facebook group. Just search for Build and Bloom in Facebook groups to join in the encouraging and empowering community. You can also find Jessica's tutorials and tools on YouTube and Instagram at Jessica Whitaker, and show notes and further resources on her website, jessicawhitaker.co. Thanks for spending time here. Catch you in the next episode.